We're covering the Caps and the Canes, though, today and every day this week. Our coverage is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For a quarter century, Ace Trim has been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry, handling everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. So I've got a buddy who does radio in Carolina, and I told you that I went on his show with him last week. And it started with me being kind of press box pulsing, breaking things down.
11 minutes of pleasantries, and then it turned nasty.
And suddenly, the Brandon Duhaime sweater that I was wearing just kind of took over, and I had unleashed the fury a little bit. But I felt bad about it. I sent an apology text, and I invited him on our show to build a bridge here. My guy, Adam Gold, of the Adam Gold Show in North Carolina. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Hope you guys are. I can't wait. We should have started this yesterday.
That's true. It's ridiculous that this series hasn't started. You guys clinched on Tuesday.
It's a week.
Right.
We clinched on Wednesday, and we didn't even know when game one was going to be played until Saturday night. We're waiting for the Western Conference for some reason. It's preposterous.
I just assumed that the NHL was going to wait to see if there was a game seven and that we would be the prelim to the game seven. But then when we found it out, they were like, no, you guys will start Tuesday. Like, wait a second, why did we have to wait? If you knew what was going to happen, anyways, the whole thing was dumb. They would have started Florida and Toronto yesterday, I assume, because that's the more high-profile series, the defending champs and Toronto. I mean, only Washington and Carolina care about our series.
And yet, here we are, waiting one more day for a Tuesday start. I remember right after the Caps clinched on Wednesday night, texting and talking to people, and they said, well, there's a small chance it could be Saturday, but probably Sunday, I guess, worst case Monday. And now it's Monday, and we're talking about tomorrow's game one. But I will say this. Caps fans feel like the break can't hurt you. They've got a veteran team, whether it's Alexi Protas, who's overcoming injury, or Logan Thompson, who's banged up. I think something's going on with John Carlson, although they haven't said that. It can't hurt this time of year. Is that kind of the feeling for Carolina as well? I know Frederik Andersen was back on the ice over the weekend.
Yeah, my guess is that Freddie Andersen might have been able to play in game five if they had to, but Rod had kind of alluded to the fact that they were targeting game five for Piotr anyway. I don't know what to make of it. Freddie's made of glass. If you get too close to him, he might fall off the table and shatter, but he certainly played well. I think Carolina was fine with the rest. They said, look, it's the same for both teams. Nobody can complain about rust in game one. You're either ready or you're not ready, and you know the layoff won't really have anything to do with it.
Why do you think Carolina is so heavily favored in sportsbooks?
Other than being obviously better than Washington, I honestly don't know. I've joked about it all year because like they've been the betting, you know, near the betting favorites for the cup. And I'm like, wait, I watch this team every day. They're not nearly as good as you think. Now, they're good. They're obviously good. But the Vegas line relies a lot on advanced metrics. And those things just look at Carolina in a very favorable light. It's a lot about shot attempts and, shot suppression. Carolina, if you believe in things like Corsi, which are shot attempts, Carolina's usually near the best in the league at attempts and the best in fewest attempts allowed. And theoretically, that should lead to goals. I would point out that prior to Rod Brind'Amour, they were really good in those two categories too and didn't make the playoffs for 9 years. So I think it's more than that, but I mean, Carolina's also been, like, I think if you did the records over the last 7 years, they're like the third best team in the entire NHL based on regular season record. And there is something to be said for making the second round of the playoffs the last 5 years.
So you mentioned that they're considerably better than Washington.
Well, yes.
What metrics are you using? Because they were 12 points. We just played a regular season.
Come on. You guys are better. You couldn't hear the sarcasm there?
Okay. No, I couldn't, actually.
I thought you were just trying to return serve to how unprofessional Grant was, Adam.
I thought you were just trying to troll me back.
I have material planned. Don't worry about it.
Okay, yeah, you'll get to your material. Good.
Okay.
So, but, my follow-up was...
there's very little to choose between these two teams.
I agree. I mean, yeah, you look at it, like, Washington scored more goals, allowed fewer goals, had more points, but I actually think the Hurricanes should be the minimal favorites. And it's based on what you just referenced, which is recent postseason track record. I just think that they match up better with Washington. Like, I worry more about Carolina, frankly, Adam, than I do Florida, which isn't to say that any team couldn't eliminate the Caps, as I always say on the show all the time. Hockey's a, I stole this from my guy Tarik El-Bashir, but it's a silly game played on ice. Like, any you could have been run by the Flyers in the first round if they somehow got the play, and that wouldn't have shocked me if the Capitals got eliminated. It's just a dumb thing. But I guess my point is, where are they better? Where are they worse? Like, how do you size up the two opponents here, tail of the tape style?
I think from the goal mouth out, I think Carolina is – they're not coming for me, by the way. I think Carolina's better in goal right now than Washington is. I think it's minimal, but I think Carolina is better in goal as long as Anderson stays healthy. If Anderson if Kochetkov's got to play a role in this series, it's probably not a good thing for the Hurricanes. But as long as Anderson stays healthy, I think Carolina is marginally better in goal. I think their defensive structure is better, but I think Washington's is also way better than it was under either of their previous coaches, whether it's Peter Laviolette or if we can go all the way back to 19 and Todd Reirden. Oh, boy, do I miss that guy.
That makes one of us.
That makes one of us, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no, but, well, from our perspective, we miss Todd Reirden.
No doubt.
The most sour person ever. But I think you guys obviously have a whole bunch of size, but I think Carolina's speed, if that is the deciding factor in the series, I think Carolina's in good shape. But if they get drawn into a physical battle, that isn't what Carolina wants to do. So they have to avoid that at all costs. And I think Carolina can play a physical game. We did down here beginning of April with 142 penalty minutes in that game. So Carolina can play that game, but that's not their best game. So Carolina's got to make this about skating a little bit more than physicality.
For the Caps fans that listen and go, wait a second, better than Thompson, he was the best goalie in the East. I need to point out that Anderson's numbers in the first round were better. He was unbelievable. 1.59 goals against, 9.36 save percentage. How did he finish the year? I wonder if that was in any way indicative of the opponent, you know, not being able to score puck in the net, or was he rolling at the end of the year and just carried that over? He's been hot.
Last couple of starts, he wasn't great, but if you go back and look at, he had about an 8 or a 9 start stretch. Remember, he missed half the year with a knee injury. And he wasn't great when he first came back. But he had about an 8 or 9 start stretch, starting with a loss to Edmonton, where his save percentage was in the 940 range. And Anderson has proven when he is right, when he is healthy, he is a top 10 goalie in the league, maybe even better than that. The knock on him is that he hasn't been healthy. And I'm there. Freddie just can't stay healthy. So, I mean, Hurricanes just signed him to an extension for next year, which his base salary is $2.75 million. Now, you have to budget for the fact that you're going to need another goalie for half of the season. But as long as he's available in the playoffs, his career playoff numbers are very good. So I think Anderson is excellent. This is not about whether Logan Thompson isn't good. He's right. Good. There's no doubt about the fact that he's good. I just think Anderson is a slight edge to him, again, as long as he stays healthy. But, again, so I will ask politely, stay away from him. Don't run him. So he can stay in the crease.
Adam Gold with us here on G&D. So Carolina terrifies me for a million reasons. But mostly you mentioned it. It's the speed. That's what I, that causes me panic. I, Grant and I have disagreed about this for years, but when I hear heavy game, I think you lose in the first round. So the Caps finally got out of that first round for the first time since winning the Stanley Cup. But this is the kind of team and matchup that I feel like gives them fits. They're prone to not being able to get the puck out of their zone. And some of the, you know, the it's not just open ice skating speed. It's not a sprinting contest, but it's they take away space. And that leads to turnovers and leads to scoring chances and the like. Yep. When Caroline is going good, is that kind of what it looks like? And when they're not going good, where might they be vulnerable?
They live, when Caroline is playing their game, they live behind your net. And they don't let the defense move the puck out. They're great along the walls. Where you can take advantage of Carolina is if you do find space, if you can get the puck to the other side of the ice. Go east to west. I think Carolina can be had. It took a while this year for Carolina to fully get to their game. So they really didn't get to it until a little bit after Four Nations. They've been playing well. They outscored their problems the first 6 weeks of the season. Then that kind of waned a little bit, and their performance did. But in the second half of the year, especially after Four Nations, they started getting back to their forecheck game a lot more. And when they do that, they make it very difficult on you because it takes a lot of pressure off the fact that, like, for half of the year, it's Pyotr Kochetkov. Now, he went through stretches where he was great, too. But I don't have any confidence that he could be great now. I think that time is coming on. So if Kochetkov does play, he might get a game in the series. Then, you know, Carolina wants to keep the puck away from their own net. That's the game they won against the Devils because he wasn't any good early. And it was 3-0 New Jersey inside of 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden Carolina got to their game. The puck rarely got in front of him. And New Jersey didn't score again. Well, they scored one more goal, but that was it. So Carolina, if they can play their game, remember, they won a game with an e-bug goalie in Toronto because they didn't allow the puck anywhere near their net. By the way, we should all fear Florida. Florida's the best team. Florida's the best team in the league by a lot.
No, they're very good.
They are.
I'll worry about them when I get there, though. I got things to tend to.
I got to jump over this alligator pit first. You know what I mean?
Yes. No doubt about it. So here is what I hope for this series. I think we're going to game seven.
I think too.
We're just like 7 years ago, game seven in Washington. Whether the outcome is the same, I think the outcome ultimately will be the same, but I think we're going to seven games. But here's what I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear Spencer Carberry, who I'm thrilled for him being a Jack Adams finalist, by the way. I don't want to hear, Carolina was taking some liberties that the officials didn't see. Please, coming out of that game, in the beginning of April, the 5-1 Carolina win, which had the 142 penalty minutes, to that's where you're going? That was weak. That was very weak sauce from Spencer Carberry. It made me laugh. But what is Carolina doing? I didn't understand. Carolina has been one of the more penalized teams in the league. Like, how are they getting away with stuff? They never get away with anything.
A
couple times.
Are we sure they've never gotten away with anything?
A couple times, Adam, a couple times, man.
Maybe once here or there.
Every team does. Every team gets away with stuff.
That's the
one. Sometimes you just get beat.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad night. I think they acknowledge that as well. In the room after the game, but they ran away. You'll have to forgive them for running away with the division in the conference so early that game just wasn't that important for them.
It's not the first time it's happened in the last several years. Also, are we going to hear at all during these playoffs, this series, that Andrei Svechnikov asked Alexander Ovechkin to fight in game three in 2019?
Yeah, you might want to stay away from Ovi if you're Svechnikov.
Yeah, he should have. He should have, and he should not have agreed to fight. It was a stupid thing for him to do.
He paid the 19-year-old price.
19-year-old kid.
Yeah.
What?
He paid the price. That was tough.
Totally. But nobody wanted to see that.
No, we've had one of those too, by the way. I still remember Jay Beagle, Aaron Asham. If you remember that, where Beagles went up and said, let's go. And I go, no, please.
Yeah,
no.
Beagles may not remember Jay, that one all too well.
No, don't do that. You don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be this way. And then he just died on the ice in front of us for a couple of moments. Luckily, he
my favorite part about that whole sequence was after the game, Ovi saying, well, he has to go. Like, no, he didn't.
Well,
fighting happens. I got no problem with it. But you could have just said, hey, it happened. I'm sorry he got hurt. He basically blamed the fight on Svechnikov.
Well, Svechnikov came up to him. He didn't want to go.
Oh, Andre agreed to go. He did not instigate the fight. He did not say, let's go.
I wasn't there. I haven't heard the mic'd up audio. I remember Svechnikov came up to Ovechkin and pretty clearly looked like a guy who was asking for a fight. But I'll take your word for it if you were there with
him.
That would
have been an interesting time to ask for your first NHL fight.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. I didn't see him. He did not have a fight all year. That would have been that's a very curious time. Look, whatever. It doesn't matter. But it's that after the game over stuff where we try to play little games, I could do without.
That's every team. And it'll happen in this series too, I'm sure, in both directions. I mean, Brenda Moore was saying the same things after the terrible hit from Warren Fogle on TJ Oshie, which, by the way, Trevor Van Riemsdyk was on that Hurricanes team. I'd forgotten about this.
Yeah, he was there.
And I was talking to TVR. He was on the show last week, and I was bringing up that series. And he's like, I was on that team. And I said, oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. And he completely agreed it was a terrible hit, which I found interesting.
What a terrible hit. You and I talked about it last week. First of all, five Caps played in that series for Washington and one for Carolina, Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Five Hurricanes played in that series for Carolina and one for Washington and Dmitry Orlov. Here's the one caveat I will put on Warren Fogle, only because I know Warren. Warren was too dumb to realize that he was making a bad play. Mm. It was a totally dangerous hit, but he was too dumb to realize it was a dangerous hit. So it wasn't malicious,
right?
But it was a bad hit.
That's funny.
A terrible hit. But yeah, Warren was not too swift.
Last one real quick. It sounds like you've got Canes in seven. Special teams. Yeah. Do I have this right? I looked this up quickly and jotted this down, but now I'm trying to find these numbers again. I feel like the Aho Jarvis power play was awesome in round one, but the penalty kill was also really good. Weren't they perfect on the penalty kill as well? So specials, I feel like, were a strength for them in round one.
The number one penalty killing unit in the league this year, and seven of the power play goals they allowed were at 5-on-3. So Carolina, basically, they've had a great penalty kill since Rod Brindamore became the head coach. It is their signature, but it can be had. And Washington got them in one of the games this year with a couple of power play goals. But that's going to have to continue to be good for Carolina. My belief is you don't have to win special teams, but you can't lose it. So, and I think this probably goes for Washington too, because they're so good 5-on-5 that for them, if they have to feel pretty good about things, if they just break even on special teams. And that's, to me, what Carolina needs to do, is just break even in special teams, and they'll have a good chance to win the series. But the penalty kill was it 15 for 15 against the Devils, plus a shorthanded goal. Jarvis and Aho are super dangerous shorthanded, and that has been a key for them all season long. It has won them games, whether it's the penalty kill or getting the shorthanded goal here and there. It has won them games. The power play, I think Carolina's power play is still no better than a B-. I know they scored 6 at a 19 against the Devils, but I'll give it a B-. If Carolina can be around, if anything close to 20%, like, just don't be bad, I think that'll be okay.
If Adam's goal was to come on the air and kick over the same hornet's nest that I did a couple of days ago in Carolina, I didn't think you did, but I am getting a lot of tweets from people.
The fans are riled up.
They're very upset. So I think you accomplished your goal.
Well, how hard is it to rile up fans?
I thought you did well. I thought it was very pleasant and amicable. But yeah, I think you tripped the wire. I don't know what the wire was, but you tripped.
Well, he spoke out loud. I think that's enough.
Cap's Twitter. How is Cap's Twitter?
How is it?
Yeah.
Danny refuses to tweet.
Yeah, I don't want to participate in it as a lifelong Caps fan, Adam, to give you an idea.
I love it for the most part.
I loathe it.
I will say that the most, it's not toxic. Like, Nat's Twitter in this town, in my opinion, is completely toxic. Every 0-for-5 leads to send that guy down. Every hitting coach is the worst. Everybody's the smartest guy in the room and has a blog. I can't stand Nat's Twitter. Commander's Twitter is like factions where they're like sending each other gifts in the mail and making fun of each other. I can't stand that. I think Cap's Twitter is mostly a good community, but they do not like outsiders. That's one thing you're going to have to contend with.
Oh, I know. I stopped responding mostly because of Kane's Twitter.
Is it rough?
It's terrible. Everything that happens is a referendum. Like, a team could win 8 in a row or 9 in a row, as they did at one point this year, lose a game, and it's we'll never win again. Like, I can't live like that.
It's tough, yeah.
I can't live on that high wire. Like, you're gonna lose.
Adam Goldshow in North Carolina, one of my guys who knows his games, and hopefully this is going to be, I don't want to say hopefully a long series, but a competitive series, and the Capitals win. I know you agree with me on that. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, Adam.
You take care, fellas. Anytime.
Be good. Adam Gold, check him out. Good insight from him on the Canes. It's going to be a really brutal next several games. Caps are more physical. Canes are faster.
Yep.
I don't think it's going to be like a bloodbath in terms of the fighting. They don't want
to,
you know. No,
you can't afford to.
But
I mean, they've taken on that persona of that loathsome jackass, Rod Brind'Amour, where everything is needle in your face. It's the face wash right after the whistle. It's going up against it, trying to bait you into stuff. They would love for you to get frustrated because they're going to be in your face the entire time with their speed, taking away their space. They're a pain in the butt.